It is so good to be together on this Lord's Day. We have the privilege we do to come and to worship with one another. And we have one another that we're able to worship with. And these are such great blessings that we have. It's good to have all those that are visiting with us today. Our purpose, as always, is to worship in spirit and in truth. An old friend of mine, Brother Bob Buchanan, posted something yesterday about some of our brethren in India. They are having, I guess you'd say, a heat wave, 123 degrees, where some of these are living. And the man that sent this to Bob said that everything is hot, that everything is just extremely hot. And they live in an area that there is not air conditioning, that they are, again, very meager in their circumstances. And they were asking for the prayers of the brethren, of whoever would know about this. And as I also begin to think about this, what if the Lord wanted you, called you to go to India and live the rest of your life in this place? And to live in those conditions, what would you say? What would you do? You would have a little bit of an understanding of what our Lord did. Leaving the glories, the beauties of heaven, and coming to this earth. Earth that He created. Earth for those who would be His creation and His servants. It does us good to experience those things from time to time. And to have, as we said, even a little understanding of what the Lord has done for us. This morning we would like to continue our thoughts on God's design for elders in every church. Last Sunday morning we talked about characteristics of elders and deacons and looking at the fruit of the Spirit. If an individual, a man, would not have those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, then there's really no reason that person should even aspire or desire the office of an elder. Those things need to be the idea again of love and joy and peace, of all the things that we should be showing in our life. I believe those would be very important for an elder to show to others. We'd like to go on, and again, as has been requested, to look at elders and again the possibility of having elders in this congregation. I don't know how many years, it's been quite a number since this congregation had elders. Many times we have visitors and have had visitors over the last 10 or 11 years that I've been here, and they will ask, does the congregation have elders? And I would say no. And many are looking for a congregation with elders. I think sometimes people want a congregation with elders just so they don't have to do anything. Don't bother me with any of the details of anything. Just let somebody take care of it. And I know that is the attitude of many Christians in many places that I have been. That should not be the attitude. It should be, do you have elders that are helping direct our work, that are overseeing as they should the things that are being done, so we are truly growing and prospering as we should? And that is the reason for elders. And as we look at the design of God, I think we need to look at that, at these things, considering what elders should be able to do for the congregation here at Capshaw. To begin with, in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, Paul and Silas, again on the first missionary journey, as they have gone through an area, it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. From this, I think we understand God's design is for elders in every church. And we'll come back to these congregations in just a little bit and talk a little bit about them. But again, this shows that this is what God's desire is. I want to begin, or really I want to look at two things this morning. One, beginning with the designation that God has in the Scriptures for elders. Not just old people, not just old men, but actually an office. One that, again, we'll talk later about the qualifications to. But elders who are to be leading the Lord's church. As we would notice, the scriptural names, episkopos, meaning an overseer or a bishop or a superintendent. And we find places that these words are used. And again, this is really all I want to do this morning, is let you see that God has intended for there to be elders in congregations, and they are designated in this way. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul is called for the elders of Ephesus to come and meet him. And Paul is speaking to them, and he says, "Be on your guard for yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And again, this is the word that we're looking at. We'll come back and talk about these men being elders also. As Paul is addressing the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. He separates overseers and deacons out. He specifically mentions them by name, and I think this shows an importance of those who were here in the church at Philippi. In the qualifications, as we usually call them, the characteristics that Paul writes for elders, as 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3, he says, "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do." Again, verse 2, "An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money." And again, we'll come back later and we will notice these characteristics or these qualifications. But again, he uses this term of overseer. And one other place we'll notice the word is in Titus chapter 1. And again, Paul writing to Titus. "Timothy, Titus, two young men, preaching as they were that they would be appointing elders." And as Paul is giving the qualifications, he uses the word again of overseer. "For the overseer," verse 7, "must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, nor fond of sordid gain." And again, he goes on, and we'll notice those a little later. Our point here is this is the term, this is the word that is used here for one who would be an elder, is an overseer, or some translations have bishop. Another scriptural name that we find is presbyteros, and again translated as elder, older, senior, member of Christian presbytery. Sometimes this just means an older person when it's used in the scriptures. Sometimes it just means one that is a senior in a collective group, someone that is older. But there are specific times that we see from the context that this name is used for those that we would call elders. We began with this passage in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. This again is the word used here. "When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So again, we see the word that we commonly use as an elder. In Acts chapter 20, and this is something that I do want you to see and understand here, especially. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is returning from his third missionary journey. As he is doing this, he is in a little bit of a hurry. And as he is in a hurry, he is going on to Philippi, from Philippi to Troas, coming down again really across the northern part of the Mediterranean Sea. And he desires to sail past Ephesus so he would not have to spend time in Asia, verse 16, because he wants to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. Now, very simply, Paul had been at Ephesus for 3 years. He knew if he stopped, what was going to happen? He was going to be talking to people. He was going to be delayed. He was going to renew all of their friendships with his brethren, and he would not make Jerusalem for Pentecost. So he sails past Ephesus. In verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And again, they went south from Ephesus down to Miletus, a place that Paul was able to be at. And Paul speaks to them. Now, I want to make this connection if you go on to verse 28. And again, we had just looked at the word episcopus as overseer. He says, be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. These elders and these overseers are the same men. Again, we can make these connections. There are people that try to differentiate between an overseer and an elder, maybe a superintendent and one that is an elder. And again, we're going to notice in a little bit the idea of a pastor. These are all the same. And again, we can draw these conclusions from the scriptures. And this one, again, is very, very plain. Elders, overseers, exactly the same individuals. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul again uses the word here for elder. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor. And again, writing to Timothy about how he should look at or consider an elder. But also two verses later in chapter 5 and verse 15 of 1 Timothy, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. And again, in the context, and we'll come back and look at this, in the context, this is very important, that the elder here is not an older person. This is one who is an overseer in the Lord's church. And it does point out the opportunity, if need be, to receive an accusation against an elder. And it goes on in the context of a correction that an elder would have to make. And as we said, we'll come back to this later. Also, the word, again, elder, used as Paul is writing to Titus, of Paul placing him, I guess in Crete we would say, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Something we'll get to also later is who does the appointing of elders? Who does the appointing of elders? To both Timothy and to Titus, he has pointed this out, that they, as the one that was preaching there, that is what they are to do. James chapter 5 and verse 14, one of the functions, again, of an elder, we see, is anyone among you sick? Then you must call for the elders of the church, and notice the plurality, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And again, this is something else that an elder would be doing. Also, 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's writing about himself even as an elder. When he says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. And actually, Peter gives us several qualifications here of himself being an elder and what an elder is to do. But again, this term, elder, and this is the one we normally use, applies to those who would have the oversight. Another name that is used is poimen, and this meaning a pastor or a shepherd. Now, as we see this used, we find really only one place in Scripture that in the context it is used about one that would be an overseer of the Lord's church. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 11 and verse 12, this is a passage that we are familiar with in looking at, again, God's design for the church. He says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Here we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are all going together to build up the church, to make it what it needs to be as the body of Christ. Apostles, we don't have anymore. Prophets, we don't have anymore. Evangelists, The evangelist here is the speaker, the one that we usually would call the preacher. The pastor here is an elder. And again, it has the meaning of feeding. And yet Vine goes on to say not just feeding the church, but tending the church. So it is more than just the idea of feeding. But a pastor is not a preacher. And most of the denominations, I had a young man speak them in class. Actually, this last week, we were discussing some different things. And when we came to this point, he said, well, it's the pastor. The pastor is the preacher. And I corrected him. And no, it was not. That is something different. That is someone different. But this is the normal way of looking at a preacher, is to call them a pastor. You know, every once in a while in being a preacher, somebody you're talking to will say, oh, you're the pastor of. And you want to correct them, and you want them to understand. But sometimes it's hard to just say, no, you're wrong. But I do want you to understand this. This is something that we need to understand. And again, that we may be able to talk to others about. One other name that we find as far as an elder, or really eldership, is presbyterion. And again, meaning eldership, presbytery, the group of elders. This word is used three times in the New Testament. Twice it is about the elders of the Jews, older men of the Jews. Only once is it used as far as the eldership, as far as the Lord's church. And this is toward Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. When he says, Paul says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So we find here again that there would be a reference to the eldership, to those again who laid their hands on Timothy. This is another question we'll talk about a little bit later. Did all the elders in the early church have miraculous spiritual gifts? Were they able to impart these in some way? And again, maybe who might have done those imparting? Well, we find in all of these places the idea of elders, overseers, those who would be feeding the church of God. These are very distinct individuals. And as we noticed, part of the church, but having the oversight as they have been appointed to this. I'd also like to look this morning at the elders in the different churches. And these are examples to us of churches that had elders. In Acts chapter 11, and verse 27 on through 30. We've seen previous to this that Barnabas has gone to Antioch, has left Antioch and gone to find Paul or Saul. And that he does find him and that he brings him back. Verse 27, now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. This shows one of the functions of the elders that were here in Jerusalem, that this contribution for the relief of the brethren was sent from Antioch down to Jerusalem, and that they sent it by Barnabas and Saul, they sent it to the elders. Again, the elders would be able to take this and to give it to those who were in need, the ones that they knew of in need. This would be a function of the elders that we see, but there were elders in Jerusalem. If we come over to the passage that Steve read to us in Acts chapter 15, we can understand here of this question of circumcision. Basically, if you're a Gentile, do you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian? And this is what was being taught. And we see, and when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. They were in Antioch. From Antioch, again, this was the question, what needs to be done? So they come to Jerusalem, and it says that they come to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. My question is, if there were apostles here, why would they consult the elders? Wouldn't the apostles know everything that they needed to know? Would it not be the decision that the apostles made? Why would they need to consult the elders? This does show the importance of elders in a congregation in making decisions, even when there were apostles here at Jerusalem. And if you go on, they're mentioned in verse 4, but then verse 6 also, the apostles and elders came together to look into this matter. It was a joint or a mutual thing that was being considered between elders and apostles. I believe this does show the not only need, but also the necessity for elders being in a congregation. We find one other mention again a little later in the chapter. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas called Barsabas and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And again, it seemed good to the apostles and the elders. They had made this decision also. One other in chapter 16 and verse 4. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. The decrees, the authority, to go about the Gentiles saying, you don't have to be circumcised. This came not only from the apostles, but also from the elders. And again, the elders at Jerusalem. We noticed this passage a couple of times already, but I'd like to think a little bit more about it in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. Paul and Silas, on this first missionary journey, had been through these cities of Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. This is Antioch of Pisidia. And they had actually started in Antioch and gone to Iconium and Lystra and then to Derbe. And they are returning here in verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And again, they had been in Derbe, the end of verse 20. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. How long had these men appointed elders been in the Lord's church? Very short amount of time. One of the qualifications is, the King James says, not a novice or not a new convert or a beginner. Paul and Silas, this whole journey lasted maybe 3 years. This amount of time that they had spent in these churches was very short. Probably these men appointed, at least some of them, maybe had been a Christian less than a year. How could they be appointed elders in every church? I believe it is actually very simple. The apostles laid their hands on these individuals and imparted miraculous spiritual gifts. As Paul and Silas went through these congregations in laying their hands on and imparting miraculous spiritual gifts, these people, elders and others, knew everything they needed to know. So even in this short amount of time, and that's really fairly true about the church at Jerusalem, those that were elders there, that they hadn't been Christians a long time, but they had the knowledge, probably much of it, imparted by miraculous spiritual gifts. We see also elders at Ephesus. And as we'd mentioned, Paul being at Ephesus 3 years, and in verse 17, that he had called the elders from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to them the elders of the church. And again, we see that these are coming together to meet with Paul. And Paul speaks to them and says quite a number of things. And these, again, are probably men that had not been Christians all that long. If you think about how long Paul had been there, and then you count even the possibility of the missionary journey that he is on, maybe 5 or 6 years. So again, I think probably miraculous spiritual gifts played a great part here. But I find it very interesting if we go on verse 27 and 28. He says there, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, among the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." When elders were appointed here, he says it was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Who appointed these men? Probably Paul. Probably Paul in the time that he was there. If we go on reading, he says, "I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." Paul, speaking prophetically, points out here that there will be savage wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise. These men who were elders, these men who had been appointed by the Holy Spirit, these men that Paul knew, from among yourselves there will be those speaking perverse things, drawing disciples after them. Now this is a very stern warning, and it should be for anyone that desires to be an elder. And I think from this, when we consider what happens too many times, that elders are lifted up with pride. And when elders are lifted up with pride, they're going to make their own decisions no matter what the congregation feels like. And in doing so, they're going to bring things in many times that are not truly what God desires. And in doing so, he says that they will speak perverse things, drawing disciples after them. This is what can happen to elders. Elders here at Ephesus that Paul is writing about. There were also to be elders in Crete. And we've read this verse, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." You know, that doesn't sound real good. Paul says, "I left you in Crete. I want you to set in order what remains." In other words, probably not good things that happened there. "And I want you to appoint elders in every city." And again, God's design, elders in every church. I think this makes evident. And one last one we'll look at, and again, we've already read this, in Philippi. Paul addressing them says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons." So we understand at Philippi, again, Paul had established or helped establish this church. As he had come through Philippi, very possibly, again, Paul is the one that had appointed or ordained these men as elders. So we see all of these churches that had elders. But in closing, I want to mention one other thing to you. The churches, or the church in Rome, in Corinth, the churches of Galatia, church in Colossae, the church of Thessalonica, nothing is mentioned about elders. Paul wrote to all of these. He never mentions elders in any of these churches. I don't know why. Men not qualified. Maybe they had not grown even as Paul thought they should and knew of. None of these are mentioned with elders. They were still functioning. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he writes to them as saints. They were functioning evidently without elders. It does not mean that the church cannot function as God wants it to without elders. It can. But God's design is for elders, when there are those that are qualified and are willing to lead the congregation. And this is what we're looking at. And again, this lesson this morning just was something to try and show you what God intends by even the names that are used, and the places that there were elders, and even places that there were not elders. We'll go on, we'll look at these qualifications, and we'll look at the idea of a man desiring to be an elder. You will take out your song books if you're using those or are overhead. This morning we have not considered really obedience to the gospel. We're looking at the Lord's design for the church, of what He wants, of the functions of it. But the church itself are those that have been obedient to it, who have humbled themselves to repent of their sins, to make the confession of their belief, to be baptized in Jesus Christ. The idea of baptism really is the idea of submission. It is allowing yourself to be taken by someone else and immersed under water, and then coming up from that water to submit yourself to the Lord and to His desires for you so that you might be saved. This morning, if you have the desire to humble yourself before the Lord, to obey the gospel, He welcomes you. As a Christian, something in your life you need to change, come on, we stand while we sing.